I know it's the first Sunday of the month, so we're going to take part in communion this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting with verse 23, it says, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Before we take part in communion this morning, let's just take a few seconds or so, a minute or so, and check our hearts. The Lord said that we're to take part in communion in remembrance of what he did for us. And it helps us to examine our hearts. You might say, what do we look for? Anything that's between you and God that you need to get right. Amen. What's a good thing, he says, examine our own hearts, not anyone else's. Amen. That's a good God, huh? Amen. So, husband, you can't examine your wife's heart. And your wife can't examine your husband's heart. But examine your own, okay? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may stand, please, if you would. We do have an open communion. You can go to your left. That's okay. Thank you, Lord. At the cross, guys. It's the cross that makes the difference. Father, we thank you for this bread that represents your body. Oh, Jesus, thank you for giving your body for us. Blessed. And Father, we thank you for the juice that represents the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary's cross for us. Father, I want to thank you for sending your Son. Jesus, thank you for coming. And Holy Spirit, thank you for comforting our hearts this day. We give you praise and we remember. Thank you for the sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may eat the bread and drink the juice. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. At the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. You may be seated. You need some more Kleenex? It's only $5 for one. Oh, they all laugh like, God. This is my niece, okay? So, what? This is my niece, Cody. Cody, this is her daughter, Foster, and this is Melanie. So, they come from a small church. Small. It doesn't even compare to our church at all. Oh, here you go. She can have. They come from a small church in Houston.
Oh.
Their pastor, you don't know who he is, but I'll tell you his name, and I know it won't be familiar to you. Joel Osteen.
Oh.
But we are glad to have them. They came for the weekend and stuff, and it was good to see them and have them, and for y'all to come and be with us this day. We certainly just appreciate them and love them. And she's drinking and eating the communion, y'all. And a lot of people don't like this juice here. But, you know, that's how it is. But it's good to have them. That's right. Amen. Ron, why don't you come on up? Just tell us about the building and what's going on. I know I need to get with you after church sometime, okay, before you leave. But give us the update on the building and what's going on.
First, we need a contractor and a carpenter. We haven't found him yet. Got this guy working over it. But it is coming along good. We started this past week where the bookshelves and the cabinets are going to be. The first coat's all on. Joe did a lot of the edgings for the second coat. That way, when we come with the second coat on the wall, just be the rolling.
Mm-hmm.
We're hoping by the end of not this coming week, but the next, we'll be ready for the carpet.
Okay.
Amen. Keep everything crossed, but it's coming
on. That's his granddaughter. That's his granddaughter.
You're going to help up on it.
Okay, so, okay.
It's all coming good, coming together. We got all the sinks in, bathrooms finished. The nursery needs edges, trimmings. Bathroom needs ceiling tile, and your office needs ceiling tile. Everything else.
Alrighty.
It's coming close.
It's coming around, guys. It's coming around.
The church builds, if we can finish here and move over there, we should finish over there. That'll work perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Have plenty of room.
I want to celebrate my birthday this month.
What's that?
I want to celebrate my birthday.
27 next year?
Yeah, next year.
Ready, buddy. Everything is just going really fabulous.
Good, good.
It's great.
And we certainly do appreciate Ron for all the things that he has done and work, and we certainly do appreciate you.
Well, I'm saving. But I just said the church could pay. I said, well, actually, I'm doing this. I'm saving it so I can buy part of a street. So I'll buy a part of a street.
Okay.
Streets are made of gold up there, so if I can buy me just a little section.
Amen. 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 That's God.
So we love you guys, and we're glad to do it. It's been a joy actually to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things, like I think I said that before, in construction, you start something and you know about what's going to go wrong because you've been doing it for 30 something years. And here it looks like it just falls into place. That is there. But we have a master carpenter up there.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
We'll do that. Joe could tell you that. He's like, okay, God, you're the carpenter. Put your hand here. It's time. Come on. And sure enough, she said,
amen.
My next dinner, amen. Next week, following week, we should be ready for
coffee. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's good. That's good. All right. Thank you for the update. Amen. Praise God, guys. Also, just a matter of note, we do have birthdays. I know it's Mama's birthday at the end of the month, the 27th. You'll be, what, 25? Plus. But also, I know it was Jennifer's, Champagne's birthday on the 7th. And also, Brian and Cheryl, their anniversary. They've been married 10 years, I think, huh? Oh, God, 30 years!
I'm not sure we're
going to
make it to
30 years. That's, congratulations, guys. That is phenomenal. That's phenomenal. I mean, it's good to see marriages making it and lasting. And it's just good. It's just good. 30 years. Congratulations, guys. Congratulations. Amen. That's good. Wow. Also, I want to thank you for the tithe and offerings last week. We picked up last Sunday $1,206.50. So thank you for your giving. We certainly do appreciate it, and all that you have sacrificed for the church. And you know, we're doing all that work, and we're not borrowing any money to do it. Mm-mm. So we want to thank God for that. That because of your faithfulness in giving, we certainly do appreciate it. Brian, why don't you come on up, Brian? Cheryl, you need to come with him? Oh, okay. I thought maybe she might have wanted to share. Oh, no, she said. Brian texted me something during the week, and I know we had been praying for his family, him and Cheryl, about certain situations, and he told me something that God just really did for him, and I said, you know, I asked him, texting, you know, would he share it today? And he was willing to do that. And I'd like for you to just share, you know, what God did in that area.
I've been a respiratory therapist since I was 17 years old. God has always blessed me with my work. And when I was 17 years old, before I graduated high school, events happened. One person died, one person got sick, one person quit. And I was the department manager of this hospital at 17 years old. That's how blessed I've been with my work. And I've been doing this for 35 years. And there was a time that what I do is I specialize in weaning people off of ventilators and life support systems. And there was a time when, listen closely to the words, I was so excellent. Not that I was weaning people that they could not get off of ventilators in Indiana or something. And they started sending them to me because that's how awesome this ventilating process was, that I was weaning them off. And I was in such demand, people would offer me $10, $20 more an hour, thousands of dollars to go all over the place. I've weaned famous people off of ventilators, you know, like locally famous people, the Thatcheries, people that you see on the news and TV. Even the movie stars, Chips, that they used to play, I weaned one of them off. And all this legislative thing started happening where they started cutting Medicare pay and Medicaid pay. And before I knew it, the hospital I was working at started cutting my hours. And I was cut down to 2 5-hour shifts a week, which does not exactly buy groceries, okay? But I was still blessed through it all. And during that time, I started applying for jobs, but at the same time, UMC was laying off people. So I'd go apply for a job, standing in line behind a person who would have an application that said, yeah, I have a doctorate degree and a master's degree and this and all this. I was thinking, whoa, I don't have all that. So I knew I wasn't getting that job. And I started trying to, like, convince people, wait a minute, I'm the guy that can wean people, like, Indiana's that can't wean off the vent. You know, I'm trying to convince people. But guess what? There's no weight in that. There's no power in being able to do something in the flesh. And God started twisting things around. Before I knew it, I was hardly working. I had plenty of time. and I had drifted far from God by that point. So I was able to start worshiping God in my home and start getting back in His Word and really start putting God first. And after job after job interview, I started realizing that I don't have what it takes. I even was starting to apply for jobs in a bank, and as I was starting to line up with God, there were 380 people who applied for this job, and it was out of me and one other woman, and the other woman got it, and she says, yeah, I knew I was going to get it because I've been praying. I was like, wait a minute, I didn't pray for this job. Finally, after enough times, realizing I applied for every job in South Louisiana as a respiratory therapist and was applying for any kind of job, I realized that I had to come to the foot of the cross. And the only power there is in Jesus. And my wife and I started praying about my job, that we need a miracle beyond miracles. And this hospital I work at is really unbelievable. That, like, the owner went to federal prison for stealing Medicare money already, and it's low. It's just a low-income type place. It's in the ghetto. And they were not very supportive, and, like, it was impossible that they were ever going to give anybody hours back. And nobody got their hours back. It was just not going to happen. And then out of the blue, they hired some company that came in and did a study and said, well, the reason why you don't have any respiratory patients because you don't have a respiratory therapist there, and if you don't give this man his hours back, your business is going to close. So they ended up taking the advice of that survey, and all these strange things started moving into place, and I start again Monday with the hours that I had before, and I'll get those hours back. Besides that, all of these places who would tell me they didn't need me anymore, they didn't need me at these places, they have been texting me continually to go to work. I've been offered probably 300 hours of work for next week if I want to work them. That's how much. And there's no doubt in my mind that God moves.
Amen.
God answers prayer.
Amen.
Really,
that's what a great God. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And Cheryl told me to tell you to work all those 300 hours. Because she needs... Wow, you see how good God is? When sometimes God will let us get to a place where all we can look is up. That's how good He is to us, though. How great is our God? Well, let me put it to you this way. How great is your God? He can do anything. He can do anything that we allow Him to do in our hearts and lives. Gave Him back His old job. I mean, you know, with the hours, you know, and people, now His name's out all over, and they just want Him to go, you know. He can make extra time on the weekends and do all kinds of stuff, you know. So that's how good God is, guys. There's nothing impossible that God cannot do. So anytime you get to a place where you think, oh my God, what can happen? God can make it happen. All we got to do is give it to Him, rely upon Him, and trust in Jesus, like the song said. Trust in Jesus, the mighty deliverer for us. Praise God. Thank you for sharing that. Appreciate it. And since He's gotten His hours back, they're going to probably make it another 30 years. You know, so... Amen. Amen. Oh, yeah, really. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. That's good. Also, a matter of note to you, next Sunday or next Saturday night, the time changes. You go up. You're going to lose an hour next Saturday night into Sunday, okay? Now, doesn't mean you can stay home and not come to church, though. Okay. Oh, Pastor Joe, I just came aching. I'm so tired. But I'm just letting you know. I know it's going to be rough. And you lose an hour, it just throws everything off. You just your body and whatever. But you know, God is faithful. So that's what we heard. Anna was telling about that, the time and everything. So next Saturday, you know, before you go to bed, whatever, put up your hour and time so you can be at church here at the right time. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's get into the Word. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. You'll be here at 11. Let's take our Bible. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before we read, there's just one more thing I need to do. Ms. Gail and Mr. Leonard, would you please just come on up just for a minute? Oh, amen. Amen. And Cindy, would you please come on up? I just want to recognize Cindy and Gail and Leonard. These are new members to our church, and I know Ms. Gail is doing some things, and Leonard in that, but I just want to recognize Cindy in being new members to our church, and we just want to welcome them. And, you know, Jelaine and I, we just want to tell you this. We will do everything we can to be great pastors to you in preaching the Word, teaching you the Word, and trying to take care of you spiritually. And we know that God has placed all of y'all here in this church. And we just pray that God will put y'all exactly where He needs you in the aspect of the church itself. Amen. Why don't you stretch forth your hand. Jelaine, why don't you come, babe, please. Amen. And let's just pray for them. Father, Lord, I just thank you for Mr. Leonard, Ms. Gail, and Cindy. And Lord God, I pray that you would place them exactly where they need to be, Lord God, in this church. First of all, I want to thank you for that you've sent them our way, Lord. That you've entrusted their souls unto us, Lord. And Father, Lord, they are very, very valuable to us and to this church. Lord God, bless them, use them. Lord, reveal your word to them every time they open up. Show them things. Lord, be with them and help them, and help them to grow in the knowledge of you, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. We appreciate you guys. Thank you.
We had no presents.
Well, I've given...
Oh.
All new members, we always give them a Bible, which is this is an expositor's study Bible. But I've already given to them already Bibles, you know, and stuff. So, but just to welcome them, and I certainly do appreciate them. I'd like for you to turn to Mark chapter 6. While Jesus was here physically upon the earth, during his 30 and a half or 33 and a half years, the last 3 or so years, it says that Jesus did many miracles. It's recorded in Scripture in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that Jesus did over 30 miracles, or performed over 30 miracles upon the earth. I mean, he raised the dead. He did all kinds of things. Healed a lady, you know, with an issue of blood, all kinds of things. But I want to read one miracle that Jesus did for the people. And it's in Mark chapter 6. Look at verse 31, starting there. It says, "And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place, and rest a while, And there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. Verse 32, and they departed into a desert place by the ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither, and out of all the cities outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw many people, and was moved with compassion. Very interesting. Very interesting. Moved with compassion. We as a church, and we as people of God, need to be moved with compassion for the lost, for people that don't know God. Moved with compassion towards them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day now was now far spent, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." And he answered and said unto him, "Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, saying, "Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat?" And he said unto him, "How many loaves have you? Go and see." And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies unto the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the two fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments of the fish and of the fish. And they who did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And that's not counting the women and the children. So they estimate about 15,000 people. Here we see Jesus going around preaching the gospel, you know, telling people about all kinds of things, you know, just whatever. And, you know, the people were so enthralled with him, wanted to know about him so much that they would just follow him everywhere. And the disciples saw a need, which was good. And they saw that the people were getting hungry. They hadn't eaten. And they go to Jesus, which is a good thing, guys. Go to Jesus all the time. In everything. You know, you hear somebody say, always go to him first with everything. And the disciples went to Jesus and they said, "Look, we have a lot of people here. 5,000 or so people, they need something to eat. We need to send them. Let them go. You know, make them go." And Jesus turns to them and says, "Feed them." Now, let me tell you this. These guys were not waiting for Jesus to tell them to feed the people. They were ready for Jesus to go along with what they were planning on doing. Let them go and buy what they need. And as they fill up and they're full, they will come back to us. But Jesus turns to them and says, "Feed them. Feed them. Feed them. Feed them." And you know, the disciples were stunned. And Jesus said, basically, "What do you have?" And the disciples says, "Look, we have some fish. 5 loaves of bread and some fish." But Jesus says, "Okay, that's enough. Look, any little thing in the hands of God makes it big." Any little thing in the hands of God. You might think, "Well, you know, Pastor, my little prayers, does it really change things?" Anything in the hands of God, no matter how minute it might seem, when it gets in the hands of God, He makes things happen. He makes things happen. So you see, that's why we need to go to Him for everything. Everything. Everything that weighs upon our hearts. Everything that weighs upon our minds. We need to go to Him first. Get His wisdom. Find out what He says about it. What He wants to do. Because you see, when we go to Him, it goes into His hands. And He says, I'll take care of it. We may not understand what's going on. We may not understand what's happening. But God will take care of it as we put it in His hands. And He will make things happen. Because all things are possible with Him. And He says, look, put them in hundreds and fifties and, you know, the people. And it says, He took the bread. He blessed the bread. He broke the bread. And He gave the bread. Very interesting. He took the bread. That was interesting. He blessed that bread, thanking God the Father. He broke that bread and He gave it to His disciples. And it says that they went to the people. Now, they knew the people could see, probably not all of them. You know, you're looking at 15,000 people, there's no way that everybody could see everything was going on. They surrounded them. That's what I picture, surrounding them. I mean, just. And they saw that they didn't have a lot. And I wonder if the ones way in the back thought, there's no way we're going to get any. We seem to think that way too sometimes. Lord, that's not enough for me. Reject that quickly. Because God can make a little into a lot. He can feed from the back first if He wants to. He can feed from the front or the middle, however He wants to do it. But I tell you, our God took it. He thanked His Father, thanked the Father, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples. And the disciples took the bread and they started giving. Breaking it apart. Breaking it apart. And every time they would break it, can you imagine? When they thought they gave their last piece, all of a sudden there was more. Whenever we think there's no more to give out of our lives, God gives us more. Yeah. He gives us more. And so they broke it and they kept giving and kept giving to the people and go to Jesus. And Jesus would give them more and they kept giving to the people. Till everybody was full of fish and bread. They were full. It probably was like a Thanksgiving dinner almost. You know, or Christmas dinners, you know. I mean, where we're so full, all we could do is roll out from underneath the table, roll to the lazy boy, or roll to the couch and sleep. Because we're so full. But they were full. That's the kind of God we serve. That will take care of those things. In Proverbs 27:19, it says, as water reflects a face, so a man's heart reflects the man. Jesus had taken that bread. He took it, He blessed it, He broke it, and He gave it. When we gave our hearts to the Lord, when we said, Father, I want to receive You as my Lord and Savior, He took us. First step, He took us. You might say, well, He didn't get a good bargain. No, He didn't. No, He didn't. We can all say amen and raise our hands, raise our feet, however we can. You know, He didn't get a good bargain. But that's okay. He knew what He was getting Himself into. And because of the love of the Father towards us, He was willing to take us and all the things that were not good in our hearts and in our lives. And also the good too. Because He sees inside of our hearts. He sees the thing that we can be. He sees what we can accomplish. What we can get from Him. Who we are in Him. And He took us. Then He blesses us. I mean, He just, you know, the job blesses us. I mean, if every one of us, if I gave you a sheet of paper, one sheet of paper wouldn't be enough for each one of us because of the blessings of God. I mean, every one of us has a nice home. I mean, really. Every one of us, just the physical thing, has hot water. Every one of us has a bed to sleep in. Every one of us has a nice vehicle. may have more than one. You know, every one of us has money in the bank. Every one of us can go eat if we want to go eat however, because we're just blessed by God. Every one of us knows how it is to have Jesus come and live on the inside of us and take those things out of us and bless our hearts and to walk away free from the guilt and shame of sin. Just blessing us and helping us. He's blessed every one of us. It says, you know that old song, count your blessings one by one. Oh God. Blessed by God. How many times have every one of us been down and out, not knowing what to do? You know, sit down on our lazy boy or couch and say, Father, help me. We call out to Him. And does the Father never come? The Father comes running. The Father comes to us and helps us and soothes the inside of our hearts, helps us on the inside and protects us, leads us and guides us, blessing us. Continuously, guys. That new building, I think of that, and I know, yeah, as a church, you know, it's just a blessing to me. When I think of that place, when I ride by it, it just, my God, what can you do? There's no limits. No limits. No limit. In Gaydon? Yes. What God can do. There's no limit to what our God can do in every aspect, in every part of our hearts, and in every part of our lives. No limit, guys. We can't limit Him with jobs. We can't limit Him with our church. We can't limit Him with our families. We can't limit Him. Because once we limit Him, we stop Him from doing what He wants to do. We got to believe. And the third part is that after He blessed it, He looked up to heaven and blessed it. It says that He broke it. Now this is hard. You know, when the Spirit of God starts to break our hearts, and not to break it and it's all broken and it's all out of, when He starts to melt our heart, He starts to break those things that need to be taken out. It hurts sometimes. And let me tell you, there's some things we don't want to give up. Huh? Let's face the fact. Huh? You know, there's just some things we like. You know, but you know what? Our God knows what is best. And so, when the Spirit of God starts to work, that's why church is so important. Because you see, as a church comes together, the presence of God comes into that place as we gather and as we sing the praises of our God, and the Spirit of God comes into a place and it starts to melt our hearts. And it takes that old, calloused, hard heart and it starts to make it pliable and soft to the Spirit of God. He breaks it and He helps and takes things out and puts things in to make us into what? His image. To have His compassion. To have His love. To have His desires. That's what He's trying to do. Mold us and make us into the image of His Son, Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit's job, to take things out and put things in. He humbles us. He has to heal things, huh? In our hearts. He has to heal unforgiveness. And it's not, let me tell you, it's not easy to forgive. It's not. But I know this, it's easier with Him. That's the key. It's easy with Him because you just, okay, Lord. You know, the Bible says what? To forgive what? 70 times 7 a day. And that was just a number thrown out because it was saying, look, you just need to forgive. Because you see, forgiveness releases us. And it releases the Spirit of God to work in our hearts and in our lives. But as He breaks us of our pride and arrogance, you know, and we can list a whole bunch of things, but in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 7, it says this, Hebrews 4, 7. Again, He limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear His voice and harden not your hearts. See, to not harden our hearts. But you know, one thing that I find above anything, if we have to categorize, you know, sin is sin. Sin is just, it puts a barrier between us and God. And let me tell you, all have sinned and come falling short of the glory of God. All need a Savior. All need help from Jesus. But I tell you one thing that I think if we can say overrides it all is unbelief. 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 Just not to believe. You know, God says, test me. God says, let me do what I need to do. But if we don't believe, it won't happen. So we got to get rid of unbelief. We got to say, Lord, help my, you know, in Mark it says that when a father had brought his son, he said, Lord, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Help me to believe. And so we have to try to get rid of all that unbelief as much as we can. You know, when something happens and we're going through something, just to believe God will set us free. God will get us through. God will set our foot on the right path and get us to the other side of that river or the other side of that mountain. Unbelief will destroy. The children of Israel had so much unbelief that they almost didn't even make it to the other side of the Red Sea. But if it wouldn't have been for the mercy of God, and if it wouldn't have been for Moses that God had put in their path to help them, they wouldn't have gotten to the other side because they didn't believe. Unbelief. Abraham, when he took his son, Isaac, the promised son, I can't even picture this as him and his son and his servant is going to the mountain. And they have everything except the sacrifice. And Abraham knew God required of him his son. We can't even take it as parents when somebody does something to our children. Now we want to get out there. We show them, oh yeah, you mess with my child, you got to mess with me. You know, and we're ready to let them have it. Then after we beat them up, we'll pray for them. You know, we'll even call the ambulance for them. You know, we'll do that out of love, you know. But can you imagine as Abraham, when they got to the bottom of the mountain, and he tells his servant, stay back. And he says, son, come. And Abraham starts to walk up that mountain with his son. And the son says, well, we have everything except the sacrifice. Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham has to clear his throat. The Lord will provide. And they walk up that mountain. And he starts to build the place to sacrifice his son. He puts the rocks. He does everything that he asked to do. The son's helping him. Puts the wood, everything. Then all of a sudden, he takes his son and he puts him on the wood, the rocks, and ties him there. Hold nothing back from God. The good part is God didn't let him sacrifice his son. God is not into sacrificing people. Only one sacrifice has been done and has paid for all of mankind. But can you imagine, as Abraham is tying him, he takes his knife, whatever, to kill him. I don't know how long it took. I'm not sure if Abraham walked around a little bit praying, saying, Lord, help me. Because I don't want to hold anything back. Because you see, you might say, well, why did God make him do that to his son? Because you have to remember, his son was number one to him. And God does not want anything, anyone to be number one except Him. And it says that as He started with His knife to kill His son, to sacrifice it unto God, it says the angel caught His arm. Said, no, I know that I am number one now. And in the thicket, caught up, was a little ram, sheep, something. And he unties his son. Can you imagine? He probably untied his son so fast, his son didn't know what was going on. Untied that son, he jumps off that altar, they go get that sacrifice. And can you imagine? His son sees his father sacrifice to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to the God of glory. Look, hold nothing back from your God. Hold nothing back from your God. Because when you hold nothing back, the blessings of God come in to that family. It says that from that day forward, that Abraham's seed was blessed. We even call Abraham, you know, Father Abraham had many sons, has many sons as Father Abraham. We are all Abraham's children today. God has blessed him because he held nothing back from the Father. When we hold nothing back, we give him everything. Seems like, and I know this, we're thinking we're losing it all. And that's what we seem to think, that's what the devil wants us to think, but in actuality, when we give it all, we're gaining all the Father. We're gaining all of Him, and He blesses and moves within our hearts and lives. He breaks us. It's only the Holy Spirit that can break things on the inside and cleanse our hearts and help us. That's why it's so important to read His Word every day, to get that in you. That's why it's so important to get under the power of the Holy Ghost and let the presence of the Holy Ghost do a mighty work in our hearts and in our lives. Because as He works, He takes things out, He heals things, and He puts things in that we need. Also, the last thing it says, that He gave the bread. He gave the bread. You know, the kind of a, not the bad thing, but we as Christians, as children of the living God, we always stay in the third part, the brokenness. The brokenness. We have to stay there for God to continually give us out to the people. Continuously. Continuously. We can never get out of there. It's a constant working. It's a constant taking out. It's a constant moving of the Holy Ghost. But it's a constant of Him giving us out to the people. Constantly. Constantly. How many times has God used you to touch people's lives? It might be just a word you say. It might just be, you know, look to Jesus. He can help you. It might be a scripture that God puts upon your heart for somebody. You're doing your daily stuff, working, doing, but all of a sudden somebody comes and they're just hurting on the inside. And the scripture of the Holy Spirit gives you a scripture to give to them, and you just tell them. You know, the Bible says, cast all your cares upon the Lord because He cares for you. It blows them away sometimes, especially if they don't know Scripture. They believe the Bible, but they don't know it. And you see, that brokenness helps us to be a people that God can use to give out the Holy Spirit to the people, to give out the healing of the power of the Holy Ghost upon the people's lives, to help people. My God. You see, Jesus came and died on the cross so that as the people could be reconciled back unto God through the blood of Jesus. It's His blood. He gave out. As we are being broken, He gives us a way to the people. Gives us a way to the people. We need to let the Holy Spirit work, guys, like never before. Like never before. And you know, every time we see the presence of God or we see God move in our hearts and lives, it builds our faith to believe. It builds our faith to believe that God can do anything. Because you see, He's such a loving God towards us. It says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. His love moved him to save us and help us. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? Remember, he takes us. He blesses us. He breaks us. And he gives us. That's just like our God. Amen. Amen. Oh, thank you, Father. Lord, we just thank you, Lord God, for today. But before, as every head is bowed and every eye closed just for a minute, I don't know your relationship to the Lord. But if you don't know Jesus and you'd like to give him your heart this morning, you'd like to give him your life this morning, would you please just raise your hand so we can all pray together? You might say, Pastor, I'm struggling. Let us pray with you. Pastor, I need help. Let us pray with you. Anyone, just making sure. I see your hand back there. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? Let's all pray together because we have a hand that was raised. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. And I receive you into my heart and into my life. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again. And now you're seated at the right hand of the Father. Your will be done in my heart and in my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read one scripture to you. You can stay standing or you can sit. It doesn't matter. But I want to read this scripture to you, a blessing to you this morning as we close. In Philippians chapter 1, it says this. Starting with verse 9, it was Paul praying this to the Philippians. He says, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more. And I pray that upon you. That your love will abound more and more in your lives this week. In the knowledge of the cross. And in all judgment. That means discerning things. That you may approve things that are excellent. That you may be sincere and without offense in your lives. Till the day of Christ. Being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. And I pray that for you this week. Lord, bless your people. Father, be with them this week. Father, everything their hands touch, bless it. Everywhere their feet shall take them, give it unto them. Protect their homes, their families, their lives, their children, Lord God. And Lord, the blessings of God to be upon them. Father, open up the knowledge of your word unto their lives this day. And Father, I thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen.